Well, the boys at MMAWeekly.com, they've done it again with the new and improved MMA Premium Package, which features archived access to the new daily MMA radio show called Sound Off. This gives you even more daily MMA information than you can get anywhere on the planet. With the new MMA Premium Package, you get all of the videos. We're talking about great features like Tip of the Week from fighters like Tito Ortiz, Jens Pulver, Chuck Liddell, Mario Sperry, Frank Shamrock, and many, many more. All archived so you can watch them again and again. Again, anytime you want. Did we mention behind-the-scenes footage with actual weigh-ins from Pride or the UFC? The new MMA Premium Package now also gives you access to all of our Sound Off MMA talk shows heard daily Monday through Friday. Although the live broadcast of Sound Off is still provided free of charge, the new MMA Weekly Premium Package now gives you archived access to every show for those times when you just aren't able to catch the show live. You have to work. You can't catch the radio show every day. Now you can have access to every single show 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at your fingertips, so you don't have to miss a beat. Did you miss what Tito Ortiz had to say on today's show? MMA Premium gives it to you daily. Listen to all the big stars in the business today.
Hey, this is Chuck, the Iceman Liddell.
Hey, this is Matt Unlin. You're listening to the Sound Off with Ryan Bennett.
The best part about it, it's just $5 a month, and the money helps keep the radio show on the air, as well as giving you access to all the video channels and the audio and video archives. Do your part and help the guys out with $5 a month to show your support for the site. You get behind-the-scenes videos, training tips, not to mention the radio show, available anytime at your fingertips, 24 hours a day. Sign up today for the new MMA Premium Package at MMAWeekly.com.
Hey guys, you've heard me for months talk about WarriorWearClothing.com. They've done a lot for fighters like Chris Leben, Tim Sylvia, Nate Quarry. You know if those guys are wearing it, there's something to it. Hey, they even sponsor this show, which you know is great, at MMAWeeklyRadio.com. Nate and the boys over at WarriorWearClothing.com have great clothes that I personally endorse. You know I don't endorse everything, but I'm telling you, these guys I do. Why? Because they look great, and the bottom line, they have the quality, so you know it's going to last. Hey, if you mention MMAWeekly.com, you get 15% off your next purchase. As I've always said, I'll say it again, wear what the pros truly wear at WarriorWearClothing.com.
This is welterweight fighter Frank Trigg. Are you strong enough, smart enough, tough enough to define yourself with strength, wisdom, and power? You got to take it to the streets to step out in the right gear. So check it. Trigonomics.com has the urban athletic gear for the gym, for the streets, and for the clubs. Trigonomics is feeling who you are, where you are, and what you're made of. Keep it locked on your PC under favorite. Trigonomics urban athletic gear is made, tested, and worn by athletes who know the game. So don't slow your roll. Roll out in the gear that represents what you're made of. Strong enough, smart enough, tough enough? Trigonomics.com. Train smarter. You know?
Are you ready for a pride fight? Make no mistake, these fights are real.
Oh, look at this!
Mixed martial arts is fast becoming the choice of fight fans around the world. And Pride Fighting Championships is at the forefront. Pride Fighting Championships. Real fights with real athletes. Be sure you order Pride 31 Unbreakable.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Then let's get it on.
MMA Weekly Radio presents Sound Off, a brand new radio show talking about the latest in mixed martial arts. Here's your host of the show, the former UFC broadcaster who's the undisputed, undefeated king of MMA radio. MMA Radio, the Hitman, Ryan Bennett. Ryan Bennett.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Nice to have you aboard. Welcome to a Friday? Is it Friday? Holy moly. Welcome to a Friday. Nice to have you aboard. Ryan Bennett on the Central Coast. Frank Trigg. I don't know where he's at. Sometimes he just doesn't check in on that. That's the way he works. That's the way he rolls sometimes. We hope to hear from the great Franklin, Dewey Franklin Trigg the Third. And here he is right now, ladies and gentlemen. What's up there, dude?
What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm alive and well.
You don't sound too happy.
Well, let me tell you something. Got a little package yesterday from a buddy of ours. Opened that sucker up. Had a nice little briefcase. Inside of it was a nice little computer. I opened it up, and I realized I know nothing about computers.
That's a shocker.
I got no clue.
That's a shocker.
Anything that's on that thing, and there's nothing on there. It's just some crazy-ass crap that you can't use unless you know what the hell you're doing. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
We have sent the great Frank Trigg a computer so that the sound quality on the show will improve. That's the goal, and we will see what can happen. We sent him a computer so that the clarity will be better.
Yeah, but I'm missing a key component.
A brain?
A headset.
Oh, that's true. I guess I'm not too. I'm glad you reminded me.
Yeah, thanks, Jerky.
I'll have my people talk to your people, as we say. Well, we'll get it together.
Well, here's the deal. We're going to find out if this thing really works really well, because I'm going to be taking it with me to Japan.
Ah, okay.
So, we're going to do the radio show for me in Japan, and you in San Luis Obispo at the same time.
When are you going to Japan?
April.
Okay, so I got time.
Oh, yeah, you got
time. We got time to figure this crap out, basically.
Yeah. Well, that I gotta get the DSL hooked up in the house and all that stuff too. So.
All right, good point.
I basically live in a sound studio.
What's that?
I basically live in a sound studio.
Yeah, that's good. You don't got anything in that apartment. No sound's gonna, it's not gonna trip out. You're okay. I'm not
worried
about it.
Well, I got tripped a little bit by the airport, so it's all triple pane windows and double thick doors, and it's crazy.
Good.
It's like super sealed. It's great.
You're telling me you don't hear the airport?
No, I literally can walk out the front, walk across the street to the park that's across the street from my thing, and I can watch the airplane take off.
Really?
Yeah, it's great. That's why I chose the apartment I'm in, because it's dead-ass quiet. I can scream and turn my music up all loud and make certain animalistic noises on certain weekends, certain someone's in town. And no one bothers me.
Beautiful.
Good to have you know I'm there.
All right, we got a good show coming up today. We're going to speak in a few minutes with Big John McCarthy. We're going to talk to him about...
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the rules that some people just seem to really have a big issue with. I'm serious. I can't believe how many emails I've gotten about fence grabbing. They're just, who cares? I mean,
When was it last time?
Huh?
When was it last time?
When was the last time?
No, it wasn't last time. It wasn't fence grabbing. It was something else.
It was elbows. It was elbows by Loazo. Everybody's like, oh, outlaw elbows. They're too dangerous. He's only winning by, cutting up, slicing and dicing people. So we always have, anytime there's a big outcry with the rules, we bring the man in, Big John McCarthy. He'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about, if it really is a problem, the fence grabbing, if it changes matches. Some people think, some people talked a little bit about it with the Liddell Couture fight. Nick Diaz came on the show, of course, and I can't remember. What did Diaz say? Hang on, let me see. Hold on.
He's looking at me. He stepped through a gurney. And I was all stepped in, and I walked to my room. He's all, whatever, fuck you. He's all, I won. He's all, go back to the WEC. He's all, go back to the WEC. And I was all, fuck you, you fucking bitch.
There's Nick Diaz, everybody. Yeah, but Diaz, actually, when he wasn't cussing in that interview, he basically said that he thought that was the difference as well. So that's kind of interesting. Go figure. So, anyway, we're going to talk with Big John about it.
Here's my question. How come when a guy loses, it can't be just because he lost? Why does it always be because somebody did something wrong? It's the other guy.
Yeah. I hear you.
If you lost, you lost, son. You're just done. Don't freaking worry about it. It's just another day. Get up and move on. He said, well, because he was grabbing the fence like a little bit. Shut up, weasel.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I won 10.
Take a loss like a loss.
Yeah, it's just what it is.
All right. And then another topic I want to talk about that I'm going to bring up our next guest right now. Scott Smith, WEC champion, may be fighting David Terrell, but there's been a lot of talk about some money that was supposedly issued or was not issued, blah, blah, blah. But Mike Roberts, a good friend of Trigg and Ice, we're calling him right now. We're going to bring him on live right now.
Mike right now is my best friend.
He is?
He's my friend right now.
He better be. Michael. What's happened?
Please wait while your next door opponent phone.
What the crap? Hang on. I'm going to have to dial that again.
Dial it again.
We just had him 2 seconds ago and... the funny part is, when you start talking, I thought that was real. When you started that next talk, I was like, wow, maybe that was it. I couldn't figure it out.
I was like, hear that thing in a week?
I like the music. Who's got sexual healing? Who had that?
Oh, that was, was that the park? Thompson? No.
Nice. Man, I guess Riggs, actually. The Diesel with the sexual healing song.
That's fine.
There he is. We got him live right now. Michael.
What's up?
Say hello to your twin brother, Frank Trigg.
Hello, Frank.
What's up, kid?
What's going on?
We got you live right now. You okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right, good. Mike Roberts, the manager for Scott Smith. For people that don't understand what's going on, let me just kind of break it down. Basically, we put an article out there talking about the potential of a David Terrell versus Scott Smith article. At the time, one of my guys was speaking with Terrell's camp, and they basically heard that it was, you know, that money was the issue why this hadn't been signed. When in truth, money wasn't even talked about. Is that correct, Mike?
Yeah, we hadn't even agreed on any financial terms, nor did we even know who we were fighting.
Okay, so that was kind of interesting, hearing from maybe the opposing opponent that basically said, you know, his camp says, no, he's not going to fight because of money. What is the situation with Scott Smith right now, Mike? Is he going to fight in the UFC?
We are in negotiations right now to sign a deal with Scott to fight for the UFC. We don't know if it's going to be in April or May or June, and they have not gave us an opponent yet if we do something. I mean, hopefully it's Terrell. It sounds like a lot of people would like to see that, but, you know, to us, nothing signed yet, so.
So, right now, there's nothing signed, and you have not been offered David Terrell yet?
Well, we are not supposed to talk about any fights until they are signed.
That's a yes. That's a yes, Mike. That's a yes.
Until the bout agreement signs, you know, nothing.
I know
they've switched opponents many times.
I know Joe Silva's listening. That's good. That sounded good, Mike. That came good out of your mouth. That was good. You're not going to get in trouble.
We would certainly welcome an opportunity to fight David Terrell.
That
but
sounds good.
That has not been signed.
Mike's got this figured out. He sounds like a freaking politician right now, Trigg, doesn't he?
He's retarded what he is. We all know it's Terrell. Give me Christmas, Mike. The pressure off.
He's good. No, he's doing the right thing, man. He was, you know, he's tight-lipped. He has to be. Hey, real quick, tell me about James Irvin. When will we see James fight again?
James Irvin will be signing a contract today to fight the WEC March 17th against Ultimate Fighter Season 1. Participant Loudon Kincaid.
Really?
Yes. We were actually going to go down to 185 and fight him, but Loudon requested to fight James at 205. So James said, "Bring it on, then, buddy."
So, what about Irvin as far as his future goes in the UFC? Do you think it's at 185? Do you think it's at 205?
Well, here's the situation. I don't know that if a lot of people know this or not, but Brandon Vera and James are super close friends. And they did not want to be put in a position to have to fight each other. And Brandon just said, "Well, I'll stay at heavyweight then." And you know, and everybody wants Brandon to go to 205. James said, "Well, you know, I'll cut down to 185." But Joe Silva has since told us, you know, hey, you know, if they both stay at 205, they don't have to fight each other. He'll make that not happen.
Okay.
So as of right now, James is going to stay at 205. Brandon, I'm not sure if he's going to go down to 205 or not. I think he's going to fight again at heavyweight, but that'll be determined later. But that was the main issue, is that they just didn't want to have to fight each other because they're such good friends.
Gotcha. Interesting stuff. What do you think about Irvin at 205 compared to 185, Trigg?
I don't know. It's going to be that. Because, you know, it comes down to weight cutting for me and availability. So I'm not sure how it'll react. I mean, he was a big kid, second brother Riggs.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a big guy who came down. It's going to be, you know, it's going to hurt, you know, by all means and all senses. But I think he should do it right. He's got the right mental state to do it.
Mike, do you think he can make 185 no problem?
I know he can make it no problem. But, you know, just like Frank said, I'd worry about the Riggs situation. The only reason James even considered it is because for the last fight, he had no problems making the weight at all. And he was still lifting weights for a big portion of the fight. And, you know, for Bonner, and it's still, he still had no problems. So he's like, well, maybe I can make it. But I would worry, certainly, the same situation with Joe Riggs, that you cut too much weight and you lose a lot of strength and you're just pure tired by the time the fight's going.
Yeah, I hear you. Mike Roberts, the manager for a few different guys, including James Irvin, and, of course, Scott Smith joining us on the show right now. Mike, let me ask you, with how devastated was James Irvin after that loss to Bonner?
He was upset just for the fact that in his mind he knew that Bonner was not going to stand with him, but he was hoping that he would, and, you know, he's just disappointed that he didn't work enough on his ground game because he really was hoping Bonner was going to want to stand there. James was like, hey, if I lose the fight, I lose, but I want to go to war with this guy. And Bonner just came to win, and, you know, it's James's mistake. Bonner did what he had to do to win the fight, and that's a smart way to do it.
Is Irvin, obviously ground is where he's got to work on. I'm sure he's going to address that, right?
Oh, he's been, everybody thinks, you know, that he was injured in the fight and all that. His arm was not injured. He was back training 4 days after we got back.
His arm was okay. His arm was bent that way and was okay.
He didn't tap from the arm. He tapped from a. He was being strangled. He had a triangle around his neck.
What?
He would have rode that out.
He didn't tap from the arm. He tapped from a triangle choke.
He tapped because he couldn't breathe.
Come on.
Mike, he would have stayed in there, I'm telling you.
Holy cow, I had no idea that was the case.
He was back training 3 days after we got back.
Wow.
His arm was fine. Now, he is super limber.
Dude, no kidding, his freaking arm was bent like a pretzel. That hurt to watch. I turned away, I was like, oh, this thing's going to break right on live TV.
He was back boxing by the end of the next week, boxing. There was no ill effects from the injury, you know, or the fight at all. No injuries, nothing.
He's a nut, dude. That's crazy.
But he has been working with Cassio Warnick, our Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor, since he got back. And on our team, we have Martin Munoz, who's the NCAA champion wrestler, who's been working with James on a constant basis. You know, just basic wrestling, defending takedowns, scrambling to get back up. And then, you know, James has a good takedown of his own. When he first started fighting, he used a lot, but now he just likes to punch people in the mouth and stopped working on it. But now James is like, you know, nobody's going to stand with me because they think the easiest way to beat me is to take me down. Well, now I'm going to make them stand with me by not letting them take me down.
You know, intriguing, that's the one thing that's, you know, that I agree with is the one thing that I was just reading the live fire chat, and I think, I can't remember who it was, but somebody just said that, Captain Amazing just said, you know, he got taken down by Terry Martin. He got taken down by Stephen Bonner. Takedown defense, he's got to work on that, doesn't he, Trigg?
A little bit. It's a problem for as much as I work with Mark Munoz, you know, the better at it already.
Yeah.
James is just so used to punching and kicking and staying on his feet that he's not willing to learn as quickly as he should or what the deal is. But, you know, you're right. And he just doesn't seem to have the takedown defense that he needs right now.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The thing that James has got that a lot of people don't, James is such a great athlete. Everything he does, he picks up fast. I mean, if you talk to Munoz now from James just in 2 weeks, he'll tell you it's like night and day.
Yeah. Interesting.
Just, I mean, being a great athlete doesn't make you a great fighter, but it definitely helps, you know, in the learning process and absorbing it and being able to do it. And James was a workaholic, you know. He didn't start out a boxer. You know, he's a football player. He'd only been in one fight in his entire life.
Yeah.
When he was in high school, and he just walked into a boxing gym and got his ass beat for six months. And, you know, now not too many people like to stand and bang with him.
Yeah, that'll be good. So he'll be on that March show. Where is that, San Bernardino?
No, that's the one that's going to be in Lamar.
Oh, that one is in the Palace, okay.
Yeah, that's the one where Uriah Faber's fighting Cole.
Yeah, that's going to be a good fight, man. WEC, dude, they've stepped it up, bro. I'm telling you, they put on so many good shows. It's awesome. I'm looking forward to that as well. It's going to be good.
They're doing okay. We got
Michael, it's good to track you down. Thanks for jumping on the show and talking about Scott Smith's situation as well as James Irvin. And we look forward to seeing both those guys fighting very soon. And we look forward to you hooking up, Trigg and I, with new rims.
Yeah, Trigg, call me when you're done with the show. I got to get some information from you.
And then you need my information, Mike. We're going to work something out. You and I are going to work something out. I got to get my expedition a little more pimped out.
Let me tell you guys, Rich is tired of our... right
plug it. Plug it right now. Mike, tell everybody what you do, man. Go ahead. I don't care.
Well, I'm the infamous Rich's Tire Barn that everybody likes to hammer about the sponsors. people saying Rich's Tire Barn. We sell custom wheels and tires and ship them all over the country.
I mean, you've done like tons of fighters' cars. I know Tito's cars, all you know, got the
I've done many of Tito's cars. Randy Couture's, Mr. Frank Trigg, Matthews, Tim Sylvia, Rico Rodriguez, my partner in crime, Quentin Rampage Jackson,
there we go.
The Sandman Irv, and Scott Smith, you name it.
And Ryan Bennett will be at it
too. Ryan Bennett's next.
All right, that's good. Hey, we're going to work out a freaking trade out so all my guys can look good, man. We're going to work something out. We're going to give one of those fat banners for the Tire Barn. We'll be good to go. That'll be good.
Hey, thanks for giving us the opportunity to clear it up about Scott, because a lot of people on the forums were thinking Scott thought he was too good.
Yeah, they were ripping him. Saying, yeah, I agree.
Some guy in the underground said Scott's an arrogant piece of crap, and, you know, who does he think he is? And that's not the case at all, you know. I mean, the guy's trying to make a living. We just, you know, we know Joe Silva is going to be fair with us like he always was. We just hadn't got anything signed yet. I don't know why Terrell's camp, you know, would even open their mouth on Scott's contract situation.
Yeah, I don't know
what Dave Terrell's camp, you know, said or what Dave's getting, and it doesn't matter. It's people's private business, but, you know, according to them, we have a rivalry.
Well, let's see it, man. Hopefully
we can get it signed, and Dave and Scott can settle it if that fight does indeed happen.
Sounds good.
If not, Tyson Griffin can come back and give Uriah a rematch.
Let's do it. That'll be good. All right, my friend. I'll talk to you soon, Michael.
All right, call me, Trick.
You got it, buddy.
All right, bye.
Thanks, Mike Roberts. Manager for a couple good fighters, Irvin and Smith, both guys, talented guys, and it'll be interesting to see their futures, especially Irvin. Irvin's got a lot of tools, but, you know, like you said, man, he's really got to work on his ground and just become a little bit better at that. He loves to stand and bang, and one of the best fights I've ever seen was him and Rhino just beating the crap out of each other for two or three rounds, whatever that lasted, and that's a great fight. But bottom line is he's got to be able to defend the takedown and work on his ground game.
That's the thing. That's why Chuck Liddell is, you know, obviously right now he's the big name Dan was talking about. It's so dangerous is because he can take it if he chooses to, but he doesn't need to because his defense is so good. And, of course, he prefers to stand and strike. But if you can't get him to the ground and keep him to the ground, it's hard to beat him. It's damn near impossible. No one's beating him on his feet. And the only way he gets beat is when he gets taken down, both by Horn and by Couture. When he got taken down, and that's how he gets beat up. You don't hold Chuck down, you can't beat him. It's the same thing with anybody else who wants to be a striker. You have to learn takedown defense. You don't have to learn how to do a takedown.
Yeah.
How to defend against it. Because if you don't, then you throw a one big kick. That's what happened to Dave Monet when Jake Shields fought him. Dave Monet just threw a big head kick, and Shields blocked it and took him down, and that was the end of the match, really. He held him out for three more rounds.
Okay, you know, there's a professional fighter that actually owes me money right now that is texting me that's talking about my money. Can I embarrass him right now on the air?
Yes. How much money do you owe you?
It's only $100, but...
Only $100. I need that money right now.
I know. I need to get baby new shoes. My wife's teasing me right now. Good thing we don't have a webcam.
Hello, this is Sam. I'm back. Leave it.
To leave a voice message, press 1, or just wait for the tone. To send a numeric page,
all right, he's not there.
Press 2 now.
Oh, he's there. Leave a message.
At the tone, please record your voice message.
Yeah, he probably does.
When
you are says
finished
he knows
recording,
I'm calling.
You may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hey, Samula, don't be shooting me a text message and not answering your phone. Trigg and I need to talk to you right now. Trigg's mad at you.
Yeah, I am mad at you. You walked right by him about 5 times last week and didn't say hi, you little punk.
Yeah, I know you don't recognize him with the hair, and I still don't recognize him either. I walked by the 3 times.
I don't care if you had 2 strippers on your arm and a hooker in your lap. Come on, son.
Let's go, Hoger.
Come back.
Right now. Or else I'll threaten to play your crappy rap song right now again. Hurry up. 877-888-5520.
Check. Yo. I'll be coming around that mountain when I come dropping bombs. I'll creep upon rappers and suckers who want to get some. You'll feel that rap like a brat or a Mac pack. And son, I'll walk all over you like the bottom of a doormat.
Yeah.
I'll kick in pop because I am nobody's daughter. You want to come over here and drop dynamite, I'll be like Teddy Walker.
Teddy Walker. That would be Jimmy Walker.
You can give me 30-30, half caliber, half gauge. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, test me out. I got Ryan Bennett on the line because he's a boy scout.
Yeah.
If I pull like a needle in a haystack. But Sam comes and I'll break you down like Shaq. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, step back. I'm being all I want you to be. Sick and tired of that Sam is the bomb. Cause I bring trust and I'll put one in your chest like Elliot Ness. Just to have something that you can think about. You know I'm better than the rest. Recognize Sam. What?
And then here's the remix, Drake.
Hold on.
Tim Sylvia yesterday making the weirdest noises I've ever heard in my life. That was nice. Right, I'm way late. I got to take a break. When we come back, we will speak with some guy named Big John McCarthy. Always good to track Big John down. Talk about some rules. We maybe hear some more Tim Sylvia and Nick Diaz cussing. Dude, we got it all now. We got Quentin singing. We got Sam Hoger rapping. We got Tim Sylvia making turkey calls. We got Diaz dropping F-bombs. The production value of the show just went up tenfold.
At least tenfold.
Spectacular. He's Frank Trigg. I'm Ryan Bennett. We'll be back right after this.
Are you ready for a pride fight? Make no mistake. These fights are real.
Look at this!
Mixed martial arts is fast becoming the choice of fight fans around the world. And Pride Fighting Championships is at the forefront. Pride Fighting Championships. Real fights with real athletes. Be sure you order Pride 31 Unbreakable.
Hey guys, you've heard me for months talk about WarriorWearClothing.com. They've done a lot for fighters like Chris Lieben, Tim Sylvia, Nate Quarry. You know if those guys are wearing it, there's something to it. Hey, they even sponsor this show, which you know is great, at MMAWeeklyRadio.com. Nate and the boys over at WarriorWearClothing.com have great clothes that I personally endorse. You know I don't endorse everything, but I'm telling you, these guys I do. Why? Because they look great, and the bottom line, they have the quality, so you know it's going to last. Hey, if you mention MMAWeekly.com, you get 15% off your next purchase. As I've always said, I'll say it again. Wear what the pros truly wear at WarriorWearClothing.com.
This is welterweight fighter Frank Trigg. Are you strong enough, smart enough, tough enough to define yourself with strength, wisdom, and power? You got to take it to the streets and step out in the right gear. So check it. Trigonomics.com has the urban athletic gear for the gym, for the streets, and for the clubs. Trigonomics is feeling who you are, where you are, and what you're made of. Keep it locked on your PC under favorites. Trigonomics urban athletic gear is made, tested, and worn by athletes who know the game. So don't slow your roll. Roll out in the gear that represents what you're made of. Strong enough, smart enough, tough enough? Trigonomics.com. Train smarter. You know.
Okay, we're going to hen call.
Okay.
You want the male turkey going there?
Yes.
Alright, here we go.
Oh my god. Right. Okay.
You ready for the intro?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Welcome back to the show. Tim Sylvia, man. That guy's classic. Every time we get him on, we get something new from that guy.
I don't understand how a man can make those noises and still be a man.
Dude.
I guess because he has a rifle in his hand when he does it.
I was reading the live fighter chat. Angela says that her dog goes crazy every time she hears those turkey calls.
Really?
Maybe she can get dogs. Never mind. I don't even want to go there. Let's get a Big John on the line here. Hey, what's going on? Where are you at right now? Are you home?
No, I'm at the office.
Okay. Sound like some important faxing going on or something.
No, we got five lines over here.
You do?
Hey,
Big John.
What's up?
We got you live, man. How are you?
Doing good, man.
Say hello to good friend Franklin Trigg.
What's up, Frankie?
What's going on, kid?
How you doing, man?
No, I'm living a day, one day at a time.
Well, that's the only way to do it, man.
John, let's get this out of the way. Trigg with hair or Trigg without hair?
I go for the trickster in the shaved head position.
Yeah, he looks a little meaner, doesn't he?
Hey, here's the deal. Are you too gay?
Pretty much.
Well, you know, if you really want to know about it, I mean.
hey, look, John, I know where you work.
Yeah,
I'll show up there.
What are you going to do, Trigg? You going to go to LAPD? What you going to do?
Yeah, I'll go to LAPD.
Yeah, you take him down and
actually,
you got 10 guys.
LA, but he's a sheriff, that's right, though.
You got 10 guys beating you down. It'd be good. Actually, I'd pay that. We'll have to put that in the backyard brawls.
Well, help me.
Let me tell you that right now. Of all those contracts over there, only about maybe 50 of them can actually beat me up.
Hey, I'm in the live fighter chat. Big John, were you on Friends last night?
I have no freaking clue. I don't watch TV.
I saw Big John McCarthy on Friends last night. Casper on the live fire chat says that. Oh, that's probably the old one, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the old one. Friends stopped taping.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call. Welcome. Welcome. Big John McCarthy joining us live right now on MMA Weekly Radio.
John, let me ask you. I want to ask you this before we get into the rules and everything. Anything really surprised you this weekend or this past weekend from the fights?
Oh, I'd have to say the one thing that surprised me would be the Cruz and Mir fight. That surprised me.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Yeah, that was a big shock to me.
Who did, Herb did that fight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was interesting because, you know, Mir now at this point of his career, you really got to ask, you know, is he even going to come back? I mean, that was just a tough way to go. He didn't move real well. He comes off the tough motorcycle accident. Most people don't even come back. I don't know where he's going to go from here.
Yeah, you know, he's going to have to decide on what he wants. It's hard. You know, it's so easy to be the outsider and sit there and make comments on stuff. You know, when you come back from a long layoff and things, it's not easy. You know, and everyone, there was huge expectations of Frank, and I think a lot of that pressure got to him. And in a way, you know, and I don't know all the factors that went into it. You know, when things weren't going his way, he wasn't really doing anything to get himself out of it. And that's really not a lot like Frank. And sometimes guys, you know, they just tense up and it's just a bad night. It might be just that, or it might be, you know, Frank just has lost that edge in his competitiveness in fighting. And maybe he wants to do something else. He's just going to have to be the guy to decide that.
Yeah, it will be interesting. That was.
I thought he was very classy in, you know, what he said afterwards, and he was right. You know what? Everyone has their good times. Everyone has their bad times. If you get knocked down, you get back up, and you decide what you can do and come back.
Absolutely. Did I lose Trigg? All right, hold on one second. John, I'm going to hang up. And
no problem.
We'll bring him back. Big John McCarthy joining us live right now on MMA Weekly Radio. And, John, of course, it's been interesting to hear. But you know how it is. Anytime a fight goes by, there's always people that are looking at certain ways fights are going and what's happening. And the hottest issue, Trigg and I were talking about this off the top, you know, there's different issues that we always address on this show. Hang on, I think I got Trigg. Trigg, I got you back.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I don't know. It was John cutting you off with his
dude,
secret
John,
powers.
Look, man, I know you don't like me, but really, on my own show?
Come on, dude, you know I wouldn't do that to you.
He's got
to
do what he's got to do, Trigg. I'm telling you, he's got those...
He's got the mojo.
He does. I mean, he's got the wiretap already hooked up on your phone. It's awesome.
Me and Gretzky?
Yeah, you and Gretzky. Hey, John, so the hot topic, Trigg and I were talking about this. It was elbows anytime David Loazzo fights, and now it's fence grabbing. It seems to be the big topic. Tell me about the fight you did. Chuck Liddell, Randy Couture. When that was going on, you gave what, Chuck a warning, or how did that transpire?
Oh, during the fight, you know, Randy went to take Chuck down, and Chuck went back into the fence, and, you know, he started to, you know, his hand started to go through and grab it, and I told him, let go of the fence, and he did. And we tell the fighters before the fight, look, this is what you can do with the fence. You can put your hands on the fence. You can push off of the fence. It does not matter if you're touching it. It does not matter if your feet go up on it, anything like that. It's when your hand starts to go and the fingers go through the fence, start to control either your body position or your opponent's, that's when it becomes a problem. The first thing we're going to do is give you a warning. We're going to tell you, let go of the fence. If you let go of the fence, it's King's X like it didn't happen. If you don't, then we're going to actually start to come over and hit your hand off the fence. If that doesn't work, you will get a foul at that point right there. If your hand came off of the fence, then it's like it didn't happen as far as we're just going to give you the warning. But we're going to go to you after if there's a break and tell you, hey, don't grab onto the fence again. If you do, from this point, I'm going to give you a foul. And, you know, a lot of people can complain all they want, but you look at any sport, there has to be some give.
Sure.
And when it comes to the fence, and Frank will be the first one to be able to tell you, if you end up starting to go back and losing your balance or someone puts you back into it, you don't think about your fingers going through it. It just kind of happens. And guys can do it on purpose, and they can do it without really thinking about it.
Right.
You know, and I, you know, before the fight ever happened, I started, I talked to Randy, and I told him, look, I said, if you put him back towards the fence, you know he's probably going to start to grab on it, so just keep doing what you're going to do. He goes, I know that, no problem. You know, Chuck, I tell him, don't grab the fence, you go back in. He says, I'm not going to. And it's inherent, it's going to happen. After it happened, I went to Chuck and I told him, if you grab it one more time, I'm going to take a point from you. And so, you know, that's what you can do. If we took a point every time someone did something that is part of the rules as far as the way they're laid out in words, we'd be having a lot of disqualified fighters,
yeah.
And people wouldn't be happy about the fact that, you know what, they didn't get to see the end of the fight because the referee went and gave someone three fouls and kicked the guy out of the fight.
Yeah, good point. And that's the interesting part, and I think you said it right. You know, most of these guys,
it's kind of instinct. The first time they do, it's instinct. You give them a warning, whatever, and then, you know, from there on out, they got to be aware of it. I mean, Trigg, as a fighter, I mean, have you been pushed back to the fence and you just grab the fence instinctively?
Of course.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you understand as a fighter's perspective what he's talking about.
Hell, I wish you, the second time he picked me up in the second fight, would have done away by the fence. I would grab that sucker in a minute.
And so bottom line, let me ask you, did you do the Asurio Silva fight?
Yeah, I did.
You did? I thought that was you. So when Tim did that change the outcome of the fight in your mind at all?
You know, people can... Perception is reality to a point. People want, if they want to perceive that he was going to get suplexed at that point and dropped on his head and that was going to change the fight, go ahead and make up your fantasy dream. Is that really what was going to happen? I kind of doubt he was going to do a big play with Tim in the position that he was really at. So Tim did reach out. I heard people, oh, he held on to the fence for 10 seconds. Tim grabbed hold of the fence, told him to let go, and he let go.
Right.
And that fits within what we allow him to do. A lot of people complain that Tim's hand was up on, he was putting his hand up as Asurio would jump to guard in the standing position. Tim had his hand, he had an underhook, and he was putting his arm up against the top of the fence. And it's okay if he presses up against with his arm up against the top of the fence. It's when his hand starts to hook over the top and hold the top, or his arm goes over to hook the top, that's when we're going to tell him, get your hand off. And I did tell him at times because it started to, and he would take his hand and he would just lean it up against it, and he's allowed to do that.
He's a legend in the sport, Big John McCarthy, joining us live right now on MMA Weekly Radio with Trigg and myself. Let me ask you, John, as far as things go, Nevada State Athletic Commission has the rules. You abide by those rules. If you could change any rules right now, what would you like to see changed from a referee's point of view? Is there one thing that you would either like to...
Everybody understood exactly what was allowed. There's so many ideas about what is truly allowed, and most people are wrong.
Are you talking within the UFC?
Within the UFC, okay. within the unified rules. You know, we'll go... You know, every fighter that I am going to be the referee for, I will go into the dressing room. And you can talk to Frank, and I go in and I talk to him, and I start to say, okay, do you have any questions about any of the rules? And invariably, most fighters say, no. And I say, okay, and so let's talk about it. And I'll start talking about things. And many, many times, these guys, even the fighters, don't truly understand what the rule and the way that they're going to be interpreted is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for I don't know how long, everyone thinks downward point of elbow strikes are not allowed. So you cannot hit with the point of the elbow. That's not true. That's not what it was for. That's not what it meant. A fighter can strike with any part of his arm in the unified rules. It doesn't matter if it's the point of the elbow.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, see, it's one type of elbow is not allowed. That is your hand going up 12 o'clock, bringing it down to 6 o'clock in that type of position. If, you know, I was fighting Frank and he went to take me down and he does a double leg and pushes me up, we'll say against the fence, and I take my hand from the sky and bring it down onto the middle of his back, that is what is an illegal elbow. That's it. Any elbow that's got any kind of arc to it, any other kind of elbow, they're all good.
Well, huh. Here's a question for you, John, to clarify on this.
Yeah.
If I take it from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock, it's illegal.
Yep.
So I bend over at the waist, and then I technically take it from 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
It's legal.
The same position. It's legal.
Yep.
Okay.
Interesting.
It's the same position. Nothing's changed except the head over the waist.
John, why is that then? Why is that one legal and the other one not? I mean, isn't it the same type of force, I mean, landing?
Well, you know what it was? Is when the unified rules were put together, they took all the organizations. You had the UFC, you had Pride, you had the IFC, and you had Hook and Shoot at the time.
Mm-hmm.
There was various organizations that all met together in New Jersey. Larry Hazard is the one that, you know, put it together so he could clarify his rules, and Mark Ratner was on a phone line for it, and they ended up having everyone sit there and try to come together with what they could be happy with.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that happened was there was an IFC show that happened before that meeting occurred, and there were a couple of fights, and because New Jersey basically was not comfortable with mixed martial arts at the time, there was a couple of fights that went on that changed things as far as what they were going to permit and not permit. And you have all these different organizations, and you have all these people with what they want to be able to do. And so it's tough to get people to agree on things. And finally, one of the things that, you know, was brought up is in one of the fights, a fighter took another guy's back and tried to sink in a choke, and he couldn't sink in the choke, and so he started taking his hand, bringing it up, and elbowing to the back of the guy's head and neck, and the doctor from New Jersey had a conniption about it. And he said, I will never, ever, you know, pass something that allows that type of strike. That could be life-threatening, and he started going into his thing. And so the one elbow they took out was that elbow, that type of position. But, and the way it was, they wrote it up, it doesn't sound, you can interpret it, I mean, a ton of ways. But the true position they were talking about was that hand coming up 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
Interesting. Big John McCarthy joining us live on MMA Weekly Radio. Some very interesting insight on the official rules, what they are, what they're not. Point of the elbow is fine. You just cannot do it from 12 to 6.
Point of the elbow is fine. It's not the matter of what part of the arm you hit with.
Wow. Interesting. See, you learn something new every day, Trigg.
I already knew that, Jackal.
All right, nice try.
I'm the rules. I'm not crazy like the rest of these cats. I'm not going out there and not knowing what I'm going to get hit with.
You're smart about that. That's good. John, as far as things go, and we've been talking elbows. I know David Loazzo, of course, is, you know, everyone wants to talk about his way of winning. He's a spectacular fighter, and he does hurt guys with elbows. Do we need to change rules in the future? Do you see a point where we should say no elbows allowed in the UFC?
You know what? You're going to have guys, you know, going both ways. And you're going to have guys saying, oh, it causes cuts, which causes a stop to the fight, which is not the way you want the fight to stop, and so let's get rid of it. And then you have people saying, hey, you know what? Why are you taking things away from what was, you know, this open forum of fighting, and now you're going to continue to take all these different types of techniques away? How many fights truly stop because of a cut from an elbow? I think they did a study on it. It was somewhere around 8 or 9% of all fights have ever done it.
Hmm.
Now that's, you know, and then that was in the last 2 years or something.
Right.
It, you know, that's some, but is that some 50% thing or anything like that you're looking at? It's not. It's a good technique. You know, David Loazzo, when he throws an elbow, I kid him all the time about him sharpening his elbows.
Right.
You know, is that really why he ends up cutting people? No, it's the damn velocity and power that he throws it with.
Yeah.
It's not that he's hitting him with the tip of his elbow all the time. It's how much power he's hitting him with, and it's hitting, you know, maybe just below the elbow or anything on a bony structure. It causes a cut. There's pressure. The pressure splits the skin, and it happens. It can happen the same from a punch. It can happen the same from a kick. It happens from knees. You're going to sit there and say, oh, well, you know, a knee stops, you know, caused a cut. Now we're going to start looking at that. You got to be realistic in what is truly happening in that fight and what's going on with it. And you know, you start taking things away, you just keep on watering things down, in my opinion. I wouldn't take things away.
Trigg, what do you got for Big John?
With... You've seen the fight with Sinisak and Sakura. I believe that fight should have stopped about halfway through the second, but I'm not a ref. You not refing it and watching it, what did you think? Why did they let it go on for so long when obviously Sinisak was getting the living crap kicked out of him?
You know, it's the hardest thing for, you know, people to understand, and you know, Frank, you know, some guys have just got hearts bigger than their bodies,
mm-hmm.
and they're not going to quit. And, you know, it was, you take a look at the Paul Buontello versus Aldana fight that happened before that. Now, Paul and Gilbert, I mean, they started throwing, they were hitting each other with huge shots, and it got to a point where Paul gets on top of Gilbert and he starts hitting him, and now no one knows it because, you know, you can't hear it, but he starts talking to Gilbert and says, hey, give it up, bitch, I'm just gonna beat you. And Gilbert looks up and says, well, then bring it, bitch, because I ain't quitting. And it's like, and I'm sitting there saying, God damn, I got to let him go a little bit longer, because he's taking an ass whip at this point.
Right.
And I got to let him go, and I keep on saying, hey, do something, and finally I'll stop it. But guys do things at times that make it to where, you know what, you got to let him go a little longer.
Yeah.
When it came to Elvis and Sakara, you know, I thought Sakara was fighting he was doing fantastic on his feet. Why he kept going to the ground.
Yeah, we said the same thing.
Well, that's a coaching standpoint.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny because I think everybody in that arena was saying, stay on your feet, except for his corner, because I was near his corner, and they were all happy every time he took him down.
I was
thinking, Jesus Christ, are you kidding me? But okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, during that fight, Elvis obviously took a beating. And there comes a point where you as the referee have got to protect the fighter from himself.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Some guys are so tough, you know what? I tell fighters all, you know, fighters know when I'm going to stop the fight. No matter what happens, what they say later on, trust me, they know because I've told them in the back dressing room. And I'll tell them exactly what it is that I'm looking for. And I'll tell them, hey, if you get hit with a shot, you get hurt, you get put down, I will give you time to try to compose yourself, try to protect yourself. If your hands come up and you start taking shots and you just stay in that position, you're going to hear me tell you, if it was Frank, move, you got to get out.
Right.
As long as you try to move, as long as you try to take away what's happening, I don't care if you're successful, as long as you're trying, I'm going to let the fight go on. When you don't try, you know I'm going to be stopping the fight because you are not intelligently defending yourself at that point. And there's all kinds of times, you know, Jason Miller against George St. Pierre, he was in a lot of bad positions, and every time I told him to move, he moved. The fight goes on.
Right.
You know, and so you've got to be smart about how you do it. But there comes a point where you've got to protect the fighter from themselves if they're taking so much punishment that they can't respond to it. And so it's a judgment call, and it's tough.
John, you got time for a couple questions from the fans?
Absolutely.
Let's go to live fighter chat. Body Arts Guy wants me to ask me, Hitman, ask John, why were up kicks to a downed opponent banned, i.e., you know, Anderson Silva landed, Trigg was there in Hawaii, Anderson Silva landed a wicked up kick that knocked out Okami. It was one of the most beautiful up kicks I've ever seen, period. Why were they banned, in your opinion?
They're not banned. What are you talking about?
The up kick, I'm sorry, when an opponent's on his knees.
If an opponent's on his knees, why can't he kick to the face?
No, why can't the guy on the ground?
He's talking about, like, guard position.
Uh-huh.
Like John, you're in my guard,
yep.
And you pull your knee back and you kick me in the face, or I'm in your guard, rather, and you kick me in the face, as opposed to when I'm standing up in front of you. And getting hit. Kind of like Matt Lilland and Big Dog.
Are you talking about why can't a down opponent kick another down opponent to the face?
Correct. Well, I guess that's basically that's how you phrase it.
That was, again, back in that meeting in New Jersey, there was really what it came down to is there was a couple of fights that they brought up. One was Hanato Babalu against Brad Kohler.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in an event, it was in a WEF event back in Georgia a long time ago. And Kohler was on all fours, and Babalu got up and punted his face and knocked him out. And they kept bringing up that type of thing and saying, we can't, if a fighter is down, he cannot be kicked to the face. And so they did bring up as far as, well, what if both fighters are down? No, then they're down. They can be kicked to the body, they can't be kicked to the face. And that's just the way it's been. You know, and there are advantages at times to certain fighters. If you're on the ground on your back, you can kick up if your fighter's in the standing position. You can kick him to the body or face. The only place you can't kick is to his groin. But you know that you cannot be kicked to the face. He can kick you to the body, but your face and head is protected.
Back to the live fire chat. Bosco asked, John, what do you think? Do you think adding knees to the UFC would be a bad idea?
No, I don't. I mean, I like the more open the fight. Fighters are smart, and they, you know, they do things within the rules. They look at positions that they can get because they understand if they can be attacked from that position in a certain way or they can't. And they adjust. And, you know, if you take elbows away, our fighter style is going to adjust. They're going to adjust. It's just the way they do things because now they realize, he can't hit me with this. I'm going to be able to do certain things that I couldn't do before, that I had to do to protect myself. It's the same way with knees on the ground. The knees on the ground, the reason, I can tell you right now, the reason that was taken away, Gann McGee had a fight, and I can't remember the guy he was fighting.
It was in Atlantic City. IFC, right?
Yep.
Yep, I remember
And
that.
He need him to, you know, it was a mismatch from the beginning. The size difference was ridiculous, and he got on top of him and got in the north side and started dropping knees, jumping up and dropping knees on the guy's head, and again, that was the New Jersey Athletic Commission, they had a conniption over it. And to the point where, I mean, they were thinking about not allowing anything ever. And we talked them to the point where, okay, as long as they can't knee into the head, they were going to be okay. and that's the way it's been. I wish it would change because I think it's a more true style. Guys, you know, they take advantage of the fact that they can't be knee to the head all the time.
Yeah.
I don't blame them. I would do the same thing. But, you know, if you put the knees back in there, you're not going to see, I think, that big of a difference in what's going to happen, except for the styles. Guys are not going to do certain positions that they do now.
Back to the live fighter chat. Baff wants me to ask you about your thoughts on same-day weigh-ins.
I'm against it.
Why is that?
Yeah, you know, people are going to they're gonna sit there and say that if you have a same-day weigh-in, guys are not going to try to, you know, lose the amount of weight, and they're wrong. Guys will.
Yeah.
You know, guys are going to try to lose weight no matter what. They want to, you know, go to the lowest weight class they can, and they're going to try to drop weight, and even if it's same day, and we have had it where it was same day, and what happens is you're endangering that fighter's life more by doing it same day than you are by doing it the day before, because of the fact they're not going to change what they do. They don't. You know, Tito Ortiz weighed in same day back at UFC 30 against Evan Tanner. He was 216 pounds. Went down to 199 because that's what it was at the time. And then came back up same day. That's dangerous.
Wow.
You know, and it's not, and I'm not saying it's not dangerous, you know, the day before, but they can do a lot of things. Fighters, you know, when they lose that kind of weight, they go, they're getting IVs, they're doing a lot of things to rehydrate themselves. And I'm, although I don't agree that, you know, it's, you know, the best thing for them as far as their health and everything, it's much better that it's the day before than the day of.
Trigg, what's your thought, Mr. Weight Cutter of all time?
Oh, they tried to do that for the Olympics for a long time in wrestling, and they stopped it, and it doesn't make any difference. We're going to cut the weight, and we're just going to get hurt, and just going to get, you know, we're going to get beat up.
Yeah.
It's what's going to happen is you get a guy that will win and go in the back and have a heart attack.
Yep.
Hey, real quick, John, by the way, thank you for spending so much time on the show. It's always
no problem, man.
Always good to get you on the show. We've got to do this more often, man. We've got to do the weekly Big John take.
Oh, yeah.
Yellow.
He's got time for us. He's too busy beating up other guys.
Yeah, that's true.
Perpetrators.
That's true. Your thoughts on yellow cards. Japan, of course, does the yellow card system. What's your thoughts about bringing yellow cards to the States?
You know what? I am totally against taking pay from anybody. I don't believe in that. I don't think it's right. If a guy goes in there and signs to fight for, you know, set amount of dollars, that is what he should get. And I, as a referee, do not, I know that I hesitated before when it was a money thing, and I would hesitate now. I do not want to take money from someone. I would rather give them a foul, and yeah, maybe it's a 1-point thing on their card, than I would take money from them. So I don't like that at all. That's just my opinion, the way I look at it, but don't put me in the position to take someone's money.
There you go. And by the way, John, on the Live Fighter Chat, everyone has agreed with me, and we're going to make Big John Friday is what they're suggesting.
Okay, you got it.
Hey, John, always a pleasure, man. Honestly, hey. I always love tracking you down, and you bring such interesting insight to the show. And honestly, you know how I feel about you. You're the man. I appreciate you.
Oh, hey, thank you very much, Ryan. You've done great things for the support, and I appreciate you. And Frank,
bye,
cut the hair off, goddammit. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Trigg.
Listen here, Weasel. Handcuffs doesn't mean I can't take them from you. Use them on you.
Hey, man, I tell you what. I got a new guy here at the academy, man. I'm going to put him against you.
Really?
Ooh.
Yeah, we can. Actually, old UFC fighters here in the academy right now. Phil Miller.
Really? What is he doing, man?
He's going through the academy. He's doing a great job. He's very smart, and he's excelling here.
Why is that kid not fighting anymore?
You know what? I think he looked at it and said basically that, you know what, it's not the life. It's tough to make it to the, you know, position of, you know, a Frank Trigg or someone like that. That's that step that's in between a lot of guys. And
yeah,
a lot of guys, you know, they're not wealthy. Trust me, you know, they're poor, trying to fight, trying to train for fights, and it's a hard life.
Yeah,
and you don't have medical insurance. It's expensive if you try to get it and everything. And so, doing this, he's got a career. He's got everything he needs to, you know, have a nice living. If he wants to go back to fighting after a little while, he can try to go back and do some more. But
I mean, this kid's undefeated, right? He never
lost.
He
is.
That's unbelievable. 16-0, and he'll never fight. Well, hopefully he will, but we'll see. That's crazy. Crazy. Hey, Big John, always good talking to you. I'll talk to you soon. Say hello to the wife and children.
All right. You take care, Ryan.
Thanks, buddy.
See you, Frank.
Big John McCarthy, man. That's a damn good interview right there.
Sorry.
Telling you.
Okay.
Here's the thing this week. You know, we may have had quote-unquote bigger name guests, but, I mean, we've never had better, interesting conversation than what we've done this week. Chuck Liddell, Joe Dieselriggs, Nick Diaz, Tim Sylvia, Big John McCarthy. I mean, that might have been, honestly, as far as content goes, probably the best week we've done, man. Good week.
Yeah, you did all right.
You're not bad either, partner.
Okay, man, you know.
All right, you know what?
Do better.
I'm taking my wife golfing right now. Let's get out of here.
I'm done. I'm meeting.
Be good.
Later.
The great Frank Trigg, everybody. I'm out of here. I'm just cutting it off a couple minutes early. I gotta go golf. My wife at? Tanya. That's what she's wearing right now. Oh, she's a little golf attire. Hey now. I'm in good shape. Life is good for me, honestly. I'm spoiled. I'm one lucky hombre. Alright, we're out of here. John Hackelman as well. Thank you for the plug as well. Hackelman was on the show this week. We killed it this week, people. Come on now. Who's your daddy? We are just bringing the freaking goods to you people. Very entertaining week. That was awesome. I want to thank you, all my guests this week. Thank you for listening. You guys are good people. We love you. Sorry we didn't take any phone calls this week.
He's looking at me as he steps to his journey. And I was all strapped in, you know, and I walked to my room. He's all, whatever, fuck you. He's all, I won. He's all, go back to the WEC. He's all, go back to the WEC. And I was all, fuck you, you fucking bitch.
It's so nice. Can't we all just get along? Have a great weekend. Catch you Monday right here on MMA with the Radio.
See you, pal. This is the one. Don't forget my love.